Hi, I'm Francesca, a registered nutritional therapist, and you're listening to another episode of the Empowered Perimenopause podcast. Welcome. My aim is to bring you down-to-earth, conversational episodes that help you develop a deeper understanding of how your body's changing in your 40s, and most importantly, how you can support yourself throughout this wonderful transitional phase of your life. Join me for my solo episodes and also episodes with guests for fun, fresh, truthful chat on all things health and happiness in your 40s. And now onto the episode. Hi, and welcome back to another episode with me, your host, Francesca Liparotti. So in today's episode, I want to chat a little bit about how stress and living out of alignment can worsen or amplify perimenopause symptoms. And that perimenopause can be this magnifying glass, really shining a light on where we might be living out of alignment and how that's potentially showing up in terms of worsening of our symptoms. Because perimenopause symptoms don't exist in a vacuum. And one of the biggest misconceptions about perimenopause is that symptoms are only caused by the decline of progesterone, the fluctuating nature of estrogen, as if hormones are operating in isolation from, for example, input from the rest of our lives, from our environment, from our stress, from our nutrition, and so on. Whilst, of course, the hallmark characteristics of perimenopause are that erratic nature of estrogen, the highs one minute, the lows the next, bringing about all whole cluster of different symptoms all in one day, and then its eventual overall decline as we get to the later stages of perimenopause. And then we have this decline in progesterone that's happening from early perimenopause onwards. Yes, those two things are happening. And in and of itself, those two things bring about various symptoms and changes. But that doesn't just work in isolation. We have this input from our environment, from our lives, that can cause symptoms to become significantly, you know, increased or worsened. And our symptoms are significantly influenced and very often intensified by stress. So living out of alignment stress, that's what we're going to be talking about today. I've got previous episodes on how chronic stress impacts our perimenopause experience and what we can do, how it works in terms of what's going on physiologically. So do go back and listen to those episodes. I'll try and link to those actually in the show notes. So when I say stress, I don't just mean the obvious things like work deadlines or a busy schedule or going through a divorce or moving house. These are really obvious stressors that we will admit are stressors. But I'm talking about the sort of quieter or unsuspected stressors, like running yourself ragged, being a perfectionist, having A-type personalities, pushing through even though you're exhausted and need to rest, constantly just coping instead of resting, overdoing intense exercise when your body's already under strain, undereating or fasting, waiting too long to have breakfast when your body's already under strain, being everything to everyone all the time, living out of alignment with your true self, your true wants, your true needs. I'll talk more about that in a minute. And being in an unhappy or unhealthy relationship, partnership, marriage, whatever that might be. These things don't just coexist with perimenopause. They actively exacerbate symptoms. So if any of these things are at play, let's say already in our lives, and then we move into this whole new hormonal terrain in perimenopause, these things will sort of amplify the symptoms because we're going to get those symptoms as a result, as I said, of the new hormonal terrain in perimenopause. But those are amplified and if we move into perimenopause already with these things out of balance, these more unsuspected stresses going on in the background, then we're more likely to experience it in a more intense way. So many of the hallmark symptoms and experiences of perimenopause are already highly sensitive to stress hormones like cortisol. So the change in estrogen, the change in progesterone is naturally increasing cortisol in our body, or imbalancing it, I should say. And then that makes the symptoms as a result of perimenopause, the perimenopause situation, more sensitive to stress hormones. So stress amplifies many, if not all, of the common symptoms of perimenopause that we talk about. Think about symptoms like PMS, new or worse PMS, including bloating, puffiness, worsening premenstrual mood changes like irritability, anxiety, sadness, anger. the irregular cycles that we might start to come up against, heavier or more painful periods, shorter cycles or skipping cycles. And stress directly impacts ovulation, which is ovulation is how we make progesterone. So then that directly impacts progesterone production, cycle regularity, PMS likelihood, the likelihood of PMS symptoms, and periods. And it's no surprise that when stress is high, these symptoms intensify. Progesterone's already naturally on the decline, as remember, as we first sort of, as soon as we move into perimenopause, so anywhere from late 30s, early 40s, progesterone naturally starts its decline. And then stress is high and impacting ovulation. So then we have this double whammy for progesterone decline. So basically, because stress, because progesterone is naturally on the decline, it doesn't mean that we can't support it so that it doesn't decline as much as if we hadn't sort of intervened and supported it. And one of the biggest ways to support ovulation to continue to happen, really well each month is by managing stress. Obviously, looking at good nutrition, other lifestyle habits, but really managing stress is a big way to improve ovulation and the likelihood of good, robust progesterone production for as long as we can. So that's why it's one of the biggest impacts. One of the biggest impactors is, you know, these silent stressors, these unsuspected living out of alignment stresses, really, really impacting progesterone production. Stress also worsens brain fog, memory issues, anxiety, low mood, you know, outside of PMS, irritability, emotional reactivity. It impacts hot flushes, night sweats, really is a big driver of these vasomotor symptoms, the symptoms related to temperature control. Stress has been shown in many, many studies, cortisol specifically, to drive them, to intensify them. So their frequency and their intensity can really be our own personal stress barometer, really knocking on the door, telling us, look, stress is high. That's why these symptoms are really high. So let's do something. Stress worsens falling asleep, so more difficulty falling asleep at night, the early waking, sort of 4 or 5 a.m., unable to fall back to sleep, heart palpitations, even chest tightness, heartburn and digestive issues, bloating and gut discomfort generally. So when women say, I feel like I'm falling apart, it's often not just hormones, it's hormones plus an overloaded nervous system. And a lot of the work I do with my one-to-one clients, yes, of course, we're looking at the nutrition piece, but the lifestyle and the stress piece is often the biggest part. And that's where we get the biggest results. Obviously, with the nutrition, we do get, of course, we get needles moved. But often this is the piece that's been overlooked and really needs to be addressed. And they get a lot of results from addressing it. Then there's the less obvious stress I've mentioned, which is living out of alignment. So this is the part that doesn't get talked about nearly enough in terms of perimenopause. Stress isn't only about being busy or these other kind of silent stresses I mentioned, but living out of alignment is one of the most powerful stressors, most impactful stressors on the female nervous system. And that can look like staying in a job that drains you, being in a relationship that no longer feels right, people pleasing, having lack of boundaries, saying yes when you actually want to say no, suppressing your needs, your wants, or your voice even, or living a life that looks fine on the outside but feels wrong on the inside. No matter how wonderful a person's life might look on the outside to you, if it's not in alignment for them, then it's not right, and that's a stressor for them. It's when you hear people say, and we've all done it, we all say it to our friends, you know, or we say it in our heads to about certain people, maybe they're famous people, maybe they're friends, people we just know about. And we'll say, you know, that they're so lucky to have XYZ. How can they be miserable? How can they be low? How can they be complaining when they've got XYZ? Again, that may look good to you from the outside, but if it isn't falling in alignment with what they want and need for their own life and their own person, then that is going to be a stressor for them. And for many women, it's in their 40s that all of this suddenly becomes impossible to ignore. You know, we can just sort of ignore it and push it to the background in our 20s or 30s. But once we get to our 40s, we really can't ignore it anymore. And that's why I say perimenopause is like this magnifying glass that's shining this light on these sorts of things. So perimenopause can feel emotionally confronting for a lot of us. a lot of women say, I don't enjoy things the way I used to. I feel flat or despondent all the time. I'm irritated all the time. My tolerance for bullshit has completely disappeared. That's definitely, I hear that a lot from many women. That's definitely my own story. I can't listen to rubbish bullshit anymore. And I just want more honesty and straight talking, you know, in a way that I didn't before. Or you might hear women saying that everyone gets on their nerves. And you might be resonating with it, some or all of this. This isn't you becoming difficult or broken. It's just that perimenopause can start to lower your capacity to tolerate what was already misaligned. Things that you never really wanted to tolerate, and why should we? But we could tolerate at a time in our lives when hormones weren't so sensitive and weren't being this magnifying glass for us. So the hormonal shifts that we experience in perimenopause, like I said, they act as a spotlight. They'll shine a light on things like unfulfilled needs, outdated roles we don't want to play anymore. We were just putting up with them before. And again, we had more patience for it all before, more tolerance for it all before. And now these are outdated. They need to go. Relationships that no longer fit us or work. Expectations on us that we've now outgrown and should never have been there in the first place. Maybe we put them on ourselves or other people have put them on us. Other things you've outgrown, like things you'd normally like to do, you don't like to do them anymore. Places you would have liked to go, now you're not bothered. People you spend time with, you're outgrowing these people as well, these things. So in that sense, perimenopause isn't causing the problem. It's simply revealing it. It's revealing where we're out of step, out of alignment. So it's this magnifying glass rather than this life sentence that it's sort of shown to be now on, or talked about as on social media these days. And again, I say this all the time, but it's great that we're talking about perimenopause now. So much more. There is so much more awareness. There's books. There's countless Instagram accounts to follow. You know, there's comedy about it. There's sketches about it. There's a lot more awareness, and that's great. But some of it can make it feel or sound like it's a life sentence. It's this sort of 10 to 15 years of hell, hormonal hell, as we move into menopause. But this is such an important reframe, that it's a magnifying glass. It's not just this hell, this space of hell that we have to push through. We can't just chalk everything up to, oh, well, I'm in perimenopause now. This is just how it is. We can instead use it as a magnifying glass for where your body's under-resourced, where your nervous system is overwhelmed, where your life needs simplifying or some shifts made, where boundaries need to be strengthened or put in place in the first place, where something needs to end or something needs to begin. Yes, of course, our hormones matter and we need to look after those. We need to use nutrition, lifestyle, supplementation to support this new hormonal terrain of perimenopause. But hormones respond to the environment we create, not just physically, like through our nutrition, through our lifestyle, through supplements, but emotionally and energetically as well, and where we are with our life. So as a phase of life, perimenopause invites some very honest reflection, where we get to ask the bigger questions like, are you being who you want to be? Are you doing work that feels aligned with your values? With what lights you up? Are you surrounded by people who nourish you or drain you and piss you off? Are you constantly overriding your body's signals, your signals to slow down, your signals to rest, your signals to eat? Even things like alcohol can suddenly stop working. That's definitely been my story, and I've put it to bed. Like I realized it even at 40, just before I turned 40, this just doesn't work for me anymore. I don't like it. Most of the time I'm just doing it because it's expected of me. And it's what I always did. So, you know, and then I just thought, well, I don't like it anymore. And now 6 years on, I still don't drink. And if anyone, you know, in the beginning, there were a few people that were a bit put out by that. But that was, I had to make that their problem, not mine. And now everybody respects it. And it's just the norm now for me. Many women start to find that alcohol worsens their anxiety, their sleep, maybe their hot flushes, their mood, because it really does, you know, unfortunately, it just has a big impact on these things. Social drinking, like I said, in my case, can start to feel like pressure rather than pleasure. And maybe that's not a problem. It's just information. It's simply information. Maybe it's something you don't need to act on straight away. Maybe you're not ready. We all have to come to these things when we are genuinely ready rather than being pushed into them. It's why when I work with clients, I'm never going to say, you have to stop drinking. You have to stop drinking alcohol. I let them know and draw their attention to how it may not be serving them anymore, and how differently we process alcohol when we move into perimenopause, because that's definitely a thing. And then it has to come when we're ready, because there's plenty of other things we can be working on in the meantime before we really get to that. Maybe you've had your fun with alcohol. Maybe this phase is asking for something different. Again, it has to be when you're ready. It's just bringing some things to your attention to start thinking about, really, and reflecting on. So one of the hidden gifts of perimenopause is that many women start to give fewer fucks. Again, another one that's definitely my story. But the challenge with this is, how do we actually use that power wisely rather than fight it? So, you know, it could mean starting to set firmer boundaries. You know, you don't have to go all gung-ho. It's just, okay, I need to set, maybe you don't have any boundaries, so you have to set them in the first place. And if they're already there, get firmer with them. Start to say no without over-explaining. Simply saying no thanks or no I can't is a complete sentence. It doesn't have to be followed by because. Maybe we need to let go of friendships or other relationships that just no longer align. Maybe we need to redefine what success, health and happiness is for us, for you as an individual, not what you think it should be or what others have expected it to be. Maybe we choose rest over relentless productivity. This is something I'm definitely working on myself. The need to be doing is very strong. I think that's the case for so many of us. And it's really from years of societal conditioning, and it needs to be undone. I grew up in a household where, particularly from my dad, it was, you needed to be doing all the time. If you weren't doing something, if you were just relaxing or resting or lying in bed or sitting on the sofa, you just weren't being productive, and it was always frowned upon. You know, what are you doing just lying there? What are you doing just sitting there? And that, you know, that's conditioning. You take that into your adult life. And of course, society does that for you as well. We should be doing. If we're not doing, we're just wasting time. So this is something I'm specifically working on and taking into 2026, is just always reflecting and checking in on myself. Like, do I need to be doing this right now? Can I just do nothing? And when I'm doing nothing, can I actually do nothing and not do nothing but read, or do nothing but be looking on social media or watching something, or, you know, thinking about something I could be doing while I'm doing nothing? I'm actually going to do nothing at times. And so everything I'm saying here is not about burning your life to the ground completely, you know, just changing everything, blowing it all up. It's about gradually starting to live more truthfully to you. And also taking your time with where, for example, you're listening to this, it might be inviting some reflection where you're starting to think about, that relationship isn't working for me anymore. I knew it. And actually, yeah, now I really know it. Or I know this job isn't working for me. It's not about just taking this now and making those decisions instantly. And like I say, burning everything to the ground and quitting the job, leaving the relationship, selling the house all tomorrow. It's just gradually starting to think about, where could you start maybe making very gradual changes as time goes by to feel like things fit more for you? And it might be that where you sit with this, rather than take action instantly, you slowly start to realize, actually, I don't need to leave the job. I just need to change this. I just need to speak to a colleague or a manager. You know, can this be tweaked? Can this be changed? And actually, I'd quite like it then. I'd be happier to stay. You know, it could be something like that instead. So perimenopause isn't here to punish us, although it definitely feels like that some days. Like I said to my friend the other day, I bumped into her on the street and she said, I feel like I'm being slapped in the face by perimenopause this week specifically, or the last few months. And that is literally how it can feel. Like it's here to punish me. But it's not. It's just here to demand honesty from you, self-respect, nervous system safety, and alignment. So on those days, those weeks, those times where I just feel like I'm being smashed in the face by it, I just have to sit back and say, I have to start listening, like really listening. Because when I do that, symptoms often reduce in intensity. Like there is something that's out of alignment for me to be feeling like it's slapping me in the face. And, you know, one of the things I made a big move from, I've talked about this before, but me and my partner relocated from, you know, 45 years. Me personally, I'd spent 45 years living in London to come and live in Margate by the sea. And I'd never left London before. And as much as I was looking forward to the move, it was a very, very big move for me on my nervous system. And that became apparent after about a few weeks or a couple of months of being here, where everything, my nervous system just crashed. And that's where I felt like I'd literally overnight been punched in the face by perimenopause. And I can definitely coincide it with that move and how stressful it was, not just on a physical level, because it was a physically stressful thing, but on an emotional level. I left a city, a place where I've lived and I've called home for 45 years, that, to be completely honest, I didn't want to leave, but we wanted to make a change. We wanted to live differently, but London is where my heart is. And so it was difficult emotionally, and it still is. We've been here nearly 9 months. We're not completely settled. We're still missing what we call home. And we want this to be our home, but we're still trying to settle in. So there's that emotional nervous system dysregulation that brought for me. And as a result, that's intensified symptoms. And it's now that they're starting to calm down again, because I have really been working on it. I've been doing what I can to bring that nervous system safety and bring that alignment, make this work for me. And sometimes those symptoms can even disappear when we really start to listen, or they just turn into a subtle hum here and there, just reminding us every so often if we might be dipping back into old habits or old, you know, unwanted sort of limiting beliefs that don't serve us anymore. So symptoms often don't reduce because hormones magically stop fluctuating, because they won't. We can't magically just put a stop on progesterone's decline or estrogen's erratic nature and its subsequent decline later on. We can't stop that. But we can start responding to it. So of course, that's where the nutrition comes in, the lifestyle habits, targeted supplementation, all of this works wonders in supporting the new hormonal terrain of perimenopause, in reducing or eliminating symptoms. But this, everything I'm talking about in this episode, is another key area that requires attention, and is often the missing piece for many, many women. Perimenopause isn't the end of who you are, but it's the beginning of who you're no longer willing to be. That's how I like to see it. And I think that's a really empowering reframe. So let me now just leave you with some practical steps to support yourself now, without pushing harder and adding more to your load. So this isn't about start eating this, start doing that. It's just some practical tips that can really start to support you. So regulate your nervous system before you try to fix hormones is one of the biggest things I'll say. Again, we tend to, you know, straight away start, we experience these symptoms, they're very uncomfortable. We obviously don't want it. And we know it's perimenopause related, of course. And we're wanting to fix hormones, like, oh, I need to test my hormones. I need hormone therapy. What helps with this hormone? And whilst those things will be helpful, there's a place for them, of course, they are usually not the instant fix, the instant answer. And one of the biggest ways we need to be going in first to start supporting ourselves in perimenopause before we look at those other things is nervous system support. If your nervous system's in constant fight flight, then no supplement, no diet, no hormone therapy or protocol is going to impact properly. It can help, but it's not going to land in the way that it should. It's not going to have that real effective impact that we want it to have. So some simple doable nervous system supports could be simply starting the day slower where possible. Even just 5 or 10 minutes extra to yourself in the morning makes a difference. Getting into daylight first thing in the morning, getting your eyes into daylight as early as you can, preferably within sort of 30 to 45 minutes of waking, if you can get into natural daylight somehow, or use a 10,000 lux light box, very simple light box in these darker months. Eating breakfast within an hour of waking, not wait until 11 o'clock to eat your breakfast, especially if you're anxious, wired, exhausted, and getting that 30 to 40 grams of protein in there as well. gentle breathing practices. So slow exhales, it's the slow exhale. So for example, a 4-6 breathing practice where you breathe into a count of four and out to a slow, longer exhale of 6 seconds. It's that slow, longer exhale that calms the nervous system, sends that signal to the brain that you're safe. Humming is also really good. Singing, sighing, walking, stretching, yoga instead of high intensity training when you're feeling depleted. Have good quality recovery days where you will focus on, you know, gentle stretching, gentle yoga, nature walking, particularly like even if you had planned that day to do some sort of intensity, you know, high intensity training or weightlifting, whilst those things have their place. Like I say, if you're feeling depleted, they're just going to backfire. Reducing multitasking, one thing at a time, is regulating. This is something I've had to learn, particularly over the last 6 months, where, like I said, I really feel like perimenopause is doing a number on me. I don't want to multitask anymore. I don't want to. I know it was, you know, said to be the most amazing thing, and women are so good at multitasking, and if you can multitask, you're just more efficient. No, not anymore. Absolutely not for me. For me to multitask makes me far, far, far less efficient and very stressed. So that's something I've definitely noticed and something I'm working on. So now, one thing at a time. That's my thing. One thing at a time. It's my motto all day. This applies to work. It applies to the kitchen. It applies to everything, house cleaning, anything I'm doing at all, one thing at a time. This isn't a time when your body wants more discipline. It's a time where it needs more messages of safety for your nervous system. It's inviting us to be calmer, be kinder, and have more compassion for ourselves. So things that worked in your 20s and 30s, for example, that will backfire in your 40s would be fasting when you're already stressed, waiting, like I said, till 10, 11 o'clock to eat your breakfast, overtraining, undereating, relying on caffeine to get through the day, ignoring fatigue, irritability, poor sleep, and just pushing through those things. This could work in our 20s and 30s. It's never ideal, but it works. We get away with it, in inverted commas. But in our 40s, it really does backfire. So instead, we want to start encouraging eating enough protein and enough carbohydrates and enough healthy fats, prioritizing recovery over intensity, like I just mentioned, training, so working out around our cycle, our menstrual cycle, if we're still having regular ones and we know where we are at any given point, and working around our energy. If we don't have regular cycles and we don't know where we are in our cycle, we can't necessarily work out around it, but work around your energy. If you're feeling depleted, don't push. Have a restorative day instead. Have a recovery day instead. And starting to learn and see and appreciate that rest is productive, not lazy. Like I said, the message to me growing up was resting is lazy. You're not achieving if you're resting. It's lazy. What are you doing? Get up. Now we have to reframe that if that was our societal conditioning. Rest is actually productive. It's how we perform better when we're performing. Perimenopause isn't the time to prove resilience, to prove our worth, to prove we can multitask, to prove how much we can get done. It's the time to start preserving our resilience and making it work for us. So start to notice what drains you and start to take it seriously. So ask yourself, what leaves you more tense? What leaves you feeling more tense, more upregulated? What leaves you feeling more resentful or exhausted? Who or what? Could be things, it could be people, could be activities, could be work. Where do I feel I have to perform? Who do I feel I have to perform around? Who makes me feel that I have to perform? I have to put on a mask. So this is definitely something, again, that I've been really focusing on in the last year. Who am I masking around? Who do I spend time with that when I walk away, I'm like, oh, I breathe a sigh of relief because now I can be myself. Then I don't want to be around those people. And it isn't necessarily their fault. It's just, that's what's happening. I'm masking when I'm around them and that's not healthy. So I can't be in those situations anymore. Where am I constantly overriding my own needs? And then, and this is key, don't minimize the answers. Don't just think about them and let them go. But you don't need to immediately, like I said earlier, you don't need to immediately act and quit your job, end your relationship, start sending that message, I'm not seeing you again. But you do need to acknowledge the cost of staying silent or compliant, you know, with these people or situations or to yourself. The awareness of it alone can reduce the stress load. Just figuring figuring these sorts of things out, having these aha moments, yes, that's it, it's that person or it's that thing or it's that place. Just that alone can reduce the stress load. And then making a gentle plan for the future, a gentle, gradual plan of how you might gradually pull away from something until you eventually it fades out and you don't do it anymore. So you don't have to go gung-ho straight away, but just having that gentle plan really reduces the stress load instantly. And see where you can start to set some small boundaries, consistent ones. They don't have to be dramatic. They can just look like saying, oh, let me get back to you, instead of saying yes straight away. You can start to wait to respond. I love that, wait to respond. This is, again, one of my mottos, wait to respond. I don't say yes or no immediately. Whether it's a WhatsApp, a text, a email, it's been said to me in person, I say, let me get back to you, I'll think about it. And I apply this to everything. I have a little think about things, I sit on things, I could have to sleep on it, whatever it might be, however long it takes, and then I respond from that place. And I'm always so grateful that I've done that, because my immediate yes usually turns into a no. If I thought it was an immediate yes, it usually turns into a no when I've waited. But the immediate no usually turns into a yes. So I'm always thinking, great, wait to respond. It takes a lot of pressure off. Decline social plans when you're exhausted. If you've said yes to social plans, but then when the time comes, you're exhausted, say no. Things change. Feel free and empowered to say, I'm sorry, I know we made this plan, but it doesn't work for me today, I'm exhausted, whatever it might be. Don't feel worried to say no. Leave earlier, or as soon as you want to leave. Leave when you want to leave, not when you think people, I hear this all the time, oh, it's rude, oh, I can't do that, oh no, or people will think I'm rude. We have to start doing what suits us. You know, if people know you and love you, they won't think you're rude. They'll just honour what you're doing. That's it. Doing less, not more, especially during the luteal phase of your cycle. If you're still having regular cycles, you know, when you're in your luteal phase, then do less, not more. Protect your sleep, protect your bedtime routine like it's non-negotiable, because it really, really is. Boundaries are about protecting your nervous system. They're allowing your brain, your nervous system, to feel safe. This is what you're telling your nervous system when you set and honor your boundaries. It's safety. And that is, like I said, what your nervous system is looking for now more than ever. This makes you better, not only for yourself, but also for those around you, the people that you love, in your household, around you, that you see, they're going to benefit too. So this is for their benefit as well as yours, in case you're worried that this all sounds quite selfish, because it isn't, I promise you. Maybe you need to reevaluate, as I said, alcohol, caffeine, coping mechanisms. Is it making, you know, are you noticing that alcohol does worsen anxiety? Your sleep is shot when you've had a drink. Hot flushes are worse. Your mood is worse. Low mood the next day. Are you noticing that caffeine makes you feel wired but tired? Are you noticing that you do have that caffeine in the morning and you might feel good for a bit, but, you know, by early afternoon or even lunchtime, you're just drained? Give it a try without. Give life a try without caffeine, just for a week, just for 2 weeks, and see what happens. If it hasn't changed things, fine. You know it wasn't that. But for many people, I had a client recently who the only thing she did after our first consultation, while she was waiting for me to send over the roadmap report for her, the next day after our consultation, she didn't have her caffeine in the morning. She did it the next day. And then a week later, she'd already had her report by then, but a week later she emailed me and she said, oh my goodness, all I've done, because I haven't even had a chance to look at the report yet, all I've done is I took caffeine out for a week and I cannot believe how much more energy I've got and how much better my sleep is. She said she'd been suffering with sleep issues and low energy for the last 3 years. And this is just something she wished she'd tried 3 years ago. But again, we all have to get to these things when we're ready. And that's when that was her ready. And now she's just so happy with the extra sleep and the reduction, you know, the improved energy just from stopping the caffeine. So this also asking yourself, is there anything you're using to cope rather than actually enjoy? So I always have this check-in with myself. I love dark chocolate. I eat the 85% dark chocolate. I check in with myself every so often. Do I use this to cope with my life, or do I enjoy it and only have it to enjoy it? And I check in every so often and I just make myself go a bit of time without it, just to make sure I'm still good. And I am, and I thankfully, because I'd hate to think that coffee, for me, my chocolate was a coping mechanism. I love it so much. I want it to be an enjoy, a thing I enjoy. So checking in on things like that. So it's not about restriction of the things that you enjoy, the things that bring you joy. It's literally just about listening. How am I using these things? For a lot of women, reducing or removing alcohol during perimenopause is one of the most powerful and surprising shifts that they can make. I hear that all the time as well. So start to create more space emotionally and practically. So perimenopause often improves when life becomes simpler. Like I said, don't multitask anymore, one thing at a time. It's not a failure. It's not a setback. It's a new way. Yeah, I used to multitask and I was good at it. I'm not anymore. I don't enjoy it. It brings me stress. Now I enjoy doing one thing at a time and it feels great. I have so much more space in my brain. Life just feels simpler even just with that one shift. So for you, it could mean fewer commitments, more no's than yes's, less people pleasing obligations, fewer expectations on yourself, more white space in the diary. I love having white space in the diary. There's plenty of times people will say, when have you got a free weekend? And I'll say, well, I've got a free weekend, but it's a free weekend and I'm keeping it as a free weekend. So the next weekend after that I can do something is, you know, this or this. More time alone, more time in nature. Nature is so, so powerful and we really underutilize it. Simply just sitting outside in a green space, a woodlandy sort of space, just for 10 minutes makes a huge difference to your mindset. So you could ask yourself, what can I remove before I try to add anything else? Instead of, I should do this, I should do that, new workout plan, whatever it might be, what can I remove that's actually adding stress before I actually start to add something else? So allow this phase of life to change you for the better rather than fight this phase and think, oh, how do I push through? How do we make, you know, how do we get to the other side? How can it change you for the better that serves you for the better and therefore serves your loved ones as well? Perimenopause is asking for honesty now, for you to be honest with yourself. What are your likes and dislikes? Where are you living out of alignment? What can you change? What can you shift? What can you drop? It's asking for you to respect yourself, respect and honor your needs, your wants, your desires, all of this. And just this sort of gentle recalibration where you start to live in alignment. And it doesn't, like I said, it's not going to happen overnight and it shouldn't happen overnight. Just this gradual shift. I've definitely been doing it very gradually over the last 5 or 6 years. And I can now say confidently that I do live in alignment. I'd say complete alignment. There's the odd place potentially where I might still not be, but it's not often. It's not something that's in my life every day. It might just be the odd time I might still say yes to something I didn't really want to do. And then when I do it, I think, oh, I shouldn't have bothered doing this. But it's very rare. And that's taken 5-6 years. So it's just gentle requests to recalibrate. And another thing I hear all the time is, I just want to get back to my old self. I just want to get back to me. I just want to get back to who I was before. And I get that because I've said this and I say this still sometimes. I just want to get back to me. I just don't feel like me sometimes. But instead of saying, how do I get back to who I was? Instead, can we say, who am I becoming? And what does she need? Instead of, I just want to feel like me again. I just want to look at who I'm becoming and giving her what she needs and what she wants so she can feel good in this new life, this new way. So my closing message to you today is this. Perimenopause isn't asking you to try harder, to restrict, to push, to be unhappy, doing these things you don't want to do, giving up things you love. It's asking you instead to listen more to yourself, to listen more intently, to live more honestly, and to stop abandoning yourself usually for other people, right? And just to remind you before we finish that if you want some free guide support, I've got my free perimenopause blueprint guide that you can download on my website. Also on my website, you can download the recording of my free Thriving Through Perimenopause Masterclass. And if you want deeper, more consistent support, you can join the Midlife Thrive membership. It is a £39 a month cancel anytime support membership, educational support, live support from me on the monthly Zoom calls, online community, or for even deeper and completely personalized comprehensive support, there's obviously my one-to-one offerings as well. The information on all of this and the two free things are available on my website. and francescaliparotti.com, but I'll have that in the show notes if you've got any questions. So thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time. Bye-bye. If you enjoyed this episode, come and join me inside the Midlife Thrive membership. It's where I share my best resources, deeper education and coaching support to help you navigate perimenopause and beyond with clarity and confidence. Head to francescaliparotti.com/midlife-thrive-membership or check the link in the show notes, and I'll look forward to welcoming you into the community.